we now move to your questions. For the questions, we give preference to the questions in the room. Could you please mention, introduce yourselves, which press you represent? Journal Investir. The stock market is reacting a bit negatively this morning. However, the accounts seem to be pretty good on the whole. It's always difficult to understand and analyze, to say the least. Two details now. On P&C, could you indicate the amount of the Nat Cats and the trend to be seen in value and in percentage of premiums? You said it was less than scheduled, and in the life business, a drop in the margin in terms of new business. I didn't understand. Why? Could you explain? Thank you very much. Jean-Michel, on the stock market front, don't forget that our stock market share has sped up in the last few days. Until yesterday, we were at more than 38 euros, so it's normal that you have a slight drop today. I expected that, by the way. Now, the two questions about P&C insurance and the Nat Cat in terms of value and percentage, and secondly, the margin of new business in life. Alban, perhaps these two questions for you. Absolutely.
On natural catastrophe, well, 56 billion in P&C is the level of premiums, and we've set a budget of 4.5% of combined ratio, i.e., 4.7% of these amounts to face up to natural disasters every year. In fiscal 2024, as Frédéric mentioned, the utilization of this budget was only 3.8% out of 4.7%, i.e., 2.1 billion out of 2.5 billion, if you put it in euro terms. Now, with respect to the new business margin, well, when you look at this product by product, in fact, this margin was stable and even went down slightly, which means that why you have a general drop is that in the product mix, the mix of these products we sold across the board, we sold fewer high-margin products in Japan, and we sold a bit more products with higher margins, less profitable yet in France. And this is the mixed product factor which leads to a slight drop in this new business margin. Now, next question. Yes, Eric Benamou of the Tribune Magazine. I have three questions. One, can you give us information on the price effect for AXA France, that is the increase of prices across the board? Number two, on reinsurance. Now, I haven't read the full press release, but can you give us the net contribution of the reinsurance business to the earnings? Number three, you spoke a lot about CSR and societal responsibility and so on and so forth. Does AXA count to reinvest the residential housing industry, which is, I would say, stalling in France? Thank you for these three questions. I suggest, Guillaume, you answer the first and second question, the price effect in the growth of AXA France. And the third question is on the possibility to reinvest in housing. And Alban, please answer the question on reinsurance and how it contributes to the earnings. Yes, says Guillaume Borie. Thank you for your questions. With respect to the price effect in P&C in France in 2024, it was in between 4%-5%. I recall that it reflects an average inflation of the cost of claim, which is much higher than that. Throughout 2024, traditionally, the inflation of claims is much ahead of the price inflation. It was again the case in 2024, and this is to be compared with growth of P&C business of 8%. So you get what we've told you earlier, our growth is the result of price increases reflecting the reality of risks, as well as the growth in volumes and market share with a volume effect, which is significant. As to your other questions on housing, now, in our general policy, we keep being active in this market of residential housing, so no change one way or another. It keeps being a sector we have been developing. Alban? On reinsurance. Well, on reinsurance, as Alban de Bainel, we've posted very fine results. The combined ratio is around 79%, and the underlying earnings of reinsurance is some 500 million euros, reflecting the restructuring efforts made in the insurance business a bit more than 2 years ago, where the reinsurance companies have pushed to the insurance companies, the so-called secondary, quote-unquote, natural catastrophes. And, right, the growth reached 10%, more so than the growth across the board. Next question. Hello, Claire Cohen from Bloomberg News. I have two questions on artificial intelligence. First, I saw the slide you presented with investments annually. Can you explain to us the change in these investments with the fact that AI is improving? Will you be investing more in the next few years? And can you also illustrate your point with some tangible use cases of how your agents and your teams have been using AI? The second question, which picks up on the previous question, you've spoken at length about the risks around natural catastrophes. Now, with respect to the risks of natural erosions and wear and tear of property and homes, this is something which is much debated in France. Are the other countries experiencing the same risk? Do you consider it's a threat, it's a new threat for your exposure outside of France?
Because Frédéric de Courtois has spoken at length about artificial intelligence, he's right to speak with a lot of energy about this. So could you please talk about this question regarding the trend and give one or two use cases, and then I will take the question on NatCats and the erosion that takes place in floods. As I said, artificial intelligence, I believe, will have a positive effect, and a very strong one, on the insurance business. So in what field? Several fields. First of all, underwritings and pricings are involved. Secondly, managing claims. Thirdly, the productivity of transactions, back office in a wide sense. And lastly, customer experience. Now, a few examples to this effect. Something we are developing at length is analyzing pictures, images when we underwrite. We increasingly use satellite images and plane images for subscription purposes. One difficulty for us is we cannot visit every site that we underwrite. There are too many of them. So with such image or picture analysis, and with the help of AI that analyzes such pictures, enables to better understand the risks involved, we manage to reach 80% of what we would do if we visited a facility or a place or a site. That's the first example. Now, a second example, in the settlement of claims, there are two cases. There are cases of straightforward claims where increasingly you may have the whole claims process, which is automated, there are no longer any humans kicking in. The picture is analyzed. Customers see it, and AI decides the amount of the compensation, and the customer is quickly reimbursed for the claims. And the second use case is that for the complex claims, you need some human factor. For example, if it concerns a corporation, for example, we developed apps so that the adjuster has immediately available all the data he needs to settle such claims. It could be similar cases that we had in the past, or the history of the client. Therefore, productivity gain is absolutely huge. Lastly, when it comes to what I call productivity, which leads to cost cuts, there are many applications in terms of automation, so it's certainly true in the business roles of the in the back office. It's also true with regard to financial or supporting roles where we automate processes which in the past required manual tasks. So there are many things we can do, therefore. Now, pertaining to your question of NatCats, unfortunately, it is obvious that the climate-related events are more and more recurring, especially what we call secondary dangers, erosions, fires, droughts, floods, and we are seeing a sharp increase in the frequency across the world. The very major events like hurricanes and so on. There we've seen something steady in terms of frequency and itinerary or route, but it's the secondary ones that create the problem nowadays for an insurer and for the policyholders. It's of course very worrisome because the peril is increasing, claims are on the rise. Nevertheless, we need to see what we can do to continue to ensure that kind of danger related to the NatCats. If we don't do anything, clearly the costs of claims will increase and insurability, as we call it, will be at danger, at peril. But we've seen in the past that prevention is a means to guarantee the insurability and cut back on the fact that the same topics or events take place the next time. We've talked about the green cover in France. And now if you look at the fires in L.A., we notice that all the concrete and not wooden houses survived these horrible fires. And we see even with the major hurricanes, if you look, the Katrina and the Irma hurricanes, there's a difference of about over 15 years. The claims load has dropped over time and not increased due to the fact that the private players, the state, and the professionals applied prevention measures. That is, when the storm comes next time, they're better prepared. And this is what we need to push forward at this. That is, prevention ought to be a far more of a key factor of the protection factor against these natural disasters. Next question. Let's start with the back part of the room.
Bonjour, Guillaume Clément de News Asset.
Guillaume Clément of News Asset Project. Two questions. The first one on the scope of AXA IM divestiture to BNP Paribas. What will it be like for the Asian joint ventures? My second question pertains to the private management business. So how do you integrate it into your growth and development strategy? Frederick, will you answer the first and the second question in regard to joint ventures and what it's like with BNP Paribas and then the private banking sector in the broad sense for the group. Let's start with the private management. Guillaume will supplement it.
Now, the Asian joint ventures are part of the scope of our disposals. In some countries, like in Korea, we have these asset management operations, and we dispose of all these asset management operations, be they wholly owned or minority interests. Now, the private management business is an important business in France. You know, the principle of this business is that you are talking about entrepreneurs or business founders or leaders who have disposed of their businesses, who know their tied agents, and a tied agent provides their best consultancy and advice to these clients. And this remains a core key business for AXA France, mainly an insurance-based business, knowing that other solutions than insurance solutions can be offered, but it remains a core key business for us. It's not part of the scope of our disposals to BNP, even though subsequently BNP will be providing asset management solutions to its own clients. And this is the case in France, and it will be the case elsewhere in the world. We'll keep developing this business, knowing that the volumes are higher in France, but in Belgium, in Hong Kong, and in other parts of the world, these clients of ours still have these needs. Okay, let's take another question. Hello, Florian Delamby of News Assurance Pro. I have four questions. Number one, you spoke about new business nets versus a stable customer base in the group with some client attrition in the UK. I would like to know how many clients you accepted to lose and whether you have reached some kind of a geographic mix and you are not disposing of other international businesses. Second question, I hope you are going to be answering yes. Do you have other plans for further acquisitions? Because you've spoken about disposals. What about acquisitions? Now, yesterday, the European Commission disclosed the details of its simplification omnibus package on ESG reporting, with the insurance industry not gaining by much. I would like to have your take on this. And number four, about France, can you comment on the increase of healthcare contract prices and the lower lower funding of France on some healthcare procedures? Four very relevant questions. Frédéric, would you answer the first question on gains and losses with respect to clients and business? I will answer the second question on acquisition plans and half of the last question on France and healthcare. And Guillaume, you can speak about the reduction in expenses, and Alban can answer on what the European Commission did yesterday and the omnibus package and what it will mean for the insurance industry. Let me start first on acquisition plans. Well, of course, we, as you know, never comment plans of acquisition you hear on the grapevine. I told you when I reviewed the 2024 performance that the organic cloud, the organic power of AXA was the factor to deliver our performance. The business model of AXA is working, i.e. we do not depend on the acquisitions we conduct yet. We always are on the lookout for good opportunities. But if I tell you about my timetable, I'm not spending 24 hours on my working day on acquisitions. Now, with respect to the healthcare in France, well, number one, this is one of the ideas on the table. It's not been turned into a decision yet by the public powers. You should know that health insurance coverage has been always been seen as a sensitive instrument in France. It's not the first time that the notion of a healthcare tax was debated post-COVID. At the time, the French government, in fact, imposed the tax for 2 years with a great sense of responsibility. And I hope that with these new debates, the government will again apply its sense of responsibility in enforcing such a new instrument. Now, new business and lost business now. Gaining and losing business is part of any company and part of any insurance company. It's a bit more marked in 2024 because we diversified our focus depending on the countries, depending on the different levels of profitability. Now, if I were to do the sum total of those countries where we gained business, basically 900,000, and where we lost clients, we lost clients on the in the order of 900,000. You realized, you saw that we gained new business in France on the back of good sales momentum. We gained business in emerging countries, growing our business base by 15%, and we keep gaining business and clients in emerging countries. We gain new business in Italy, among others, on the back of our very good partnership agreement with Renault in Italy, and we gain new business in Switzerland. We are the first and the largest insurance company in Switzerland, so nothing extraordinary. We lost business, we lost clients in the UK because we took strong actions to restore the profitability level in the UK. Revenue in the UK increased, price increases were in excess of customer attrition, but we lost a number of customers. We lost business in the UK. We lost motor business and clients in Germany because basically motor insurance was loss-making in the German market. So we took stronger action than our competitors, and we did well, according to me, because it was necessary. We lost business and clients in Spain, in the brokers part of the distribution network, because we needed to restore profitability levels. So it's basically business as usual, but a bit more than usual. European Commission and Omnibus for you, Alban. Our position has been as follows for CSRD and sustainability issues. We believe that, and we were the first to publish the CSRD report. You'll see this in our annual report. And as such, we find it a useful report. It's quite a heavy-duty report, and you need to be a company of a certain size to be able to produce such a sustainability report. So the fact that smaller corporations are not required to produce this report is a good thing. What we've been recommending is that we make a pause. CCRD is fine, yet it was planned that new industry standards be introduced to date. It doesn't seem to us that it's useful that to go in this direction. Let us first take stock of the existing requirements, and then there is CS3D, which was supposed to come into effect in a few years from now. Here again, it would be desirable to pause, to focus on the CSRD stage, and then to, draw lessons from it. Guillaume, with lower expenses. Well, lower expenses in the protection business. Well, the situation is, as you know well, that the level of payments from complementary health insurance should be lowered from 1.8 down to 1.4 times the minimum wage. But as usual, when you define the boundaries between the national social security regime and the private complementary insurance regimes, there will be a question of a very granular detail. So far, we don't have the information. Obviously, it will change the type and nature of the risk that we'll be covering, and we'll need to factor this in our pricing model for 2026. Now, as far as 25 is concerned, we've already negotiated the prices with all of our customers and clients, and in line with what Thomas and Alban said, both with respect to the health business and the situation of the European market in this respect. Let me add something which is important to have in mind. The French complementary health insurance contracts have the highest level of taxation on these contracts compared with the other countries. There's hardly any tax in Germany, in Spain, and Italy, but in France we have a 15 to 20% tax. Fine, next question.
Wait for the mic, please. Aline Fovart, Le Revenu. In regard to acquisitions, you have, if I infer that you got 1.5 billion from the sale of asset management business to BNP, and you're giving back 3.2 billion in the form of buyback, you have about 1.9 billion remaining. That's 2 billion for acquisitions because you generate also value. That's one thing. Is that the potential package? Next, I'd like to get a few technical details on the solvency ratio margin and your financial ratings, which take into account the France risk that could be downgraded further. There's another topic that you haven't tackled today, on which you are working a lot, which are the cyber risks. Could you say a few words about that? And lastly, what are the major risks that could emerge, in which case could weigh down on your accounts or on your profitability margin 2025, 2026? Well then, I will take the question on acquisitions. Alban, could you take up the question on solvency margin? And Frederick, if you could address the question pertaining to cyber, and then I'll take perhaps the fourth question regarding solvency, but which is more general in nature. Let me start, just to get the right figures in mind, the price of the sale was 5.4 billion. The buyback that will be carried out once the closing takes place will be at 3.8 billion. In other words, the 1.6 is the differential and potentially could be used for investments. Granted, and we talk about investments, let's not overlook that the 8% of growth that we have displayed, this is not done automatically. It requires as well investments, capital investment in people, in underwriters and people who manage claims, and also investing in AI, which is not free of charge. In other words, we use such money in a smart way, on the one hand for organic investment. And as I say again and again, if there are any opportunities to make acquisitions, we'll be looking at them, of course. And you saw in the recent past, there were several acquisitions of the type. I've shown the Laya acquisition a few seconds ago, Le Crédit Mutuel in Spain acquisition, or the acquisition of Nobis in Italy, and also the acquisition of Groupama in Turkey. And this is part and parcel of our normal daily business. But as I said before, we don't spend 24 hours a day on that particular topic, because our focus really is the organic growth of the company, and which you have seen today, and it was successful. Let me take the fourth question now up. Look, of course, in this world which is volatile and rocky, there are many risks. When it comes to solvency, this is where your question is focusing on. The risks that we have regarding solvency are far less present than in the past, because the sensitivities of solvency following a major change in the stock markets or in the bonds markets is far more, much slimmer than in the past. Just to give you the figures to remember, the sensitivity that we had in the 2016 former model compared to what we have today represents nearly one third of the sensitivity in the past. Nevertheless, it's important to look beyond that and ask oneself, what are the major risks, the large risks that could hit us? You have evoked in your third question the cyber risk. This is the geopolitical risk, NatCat risk, or social societal risk. Let me focus rather on two points which seem very important to me. First of all, and each year, by the way, we look at our future risk report, looking at what are the 10 largest risks in the world, and we see the hierarchy in the risk does not really change very much, except maybe in 2020, where with the COVID, the health risk was the absolute priority. And what we see now over the years is that the risks together are far more correlated. The cybercrime is correlated to geopolitical risk, for example, or societal risks are related to NatCats, and so on and so forth. And secondly, social and societal risks today, I mean the risk based on the social contract, and is no longer working the way it used to, is perhaps the most underestimated risk today on the mapping of the major risks. Second question on solvency.
Well, I'll need to get into some technical detail, but you seem to be liking technique, looking at your question. When we speak about rates, we are talking about two different things. Rates, interest rates on the one hand, and the spread. On interest rates, we have a balance sheet which matches the interest rates, and our solvency is not very much sensitive to the change in interest rates. We have a 0.2-year duration gap, if you want to be precise. Conversely, in interest rates, you have the spread as well, be it against the four corporate bonds or government bonds. And this is what we experienced last year. When there is a widening of those spreads, well, it weighs down on our solvency. And as these bonds are getting redeemed, we earn back these solvency points. And there's a need for taking up these govies, because this enables us, in fact, they are the safest ones, the most secure, irrespective of their rating levels. And it enables us to have long-term assets to face up to our long-term liabilities and commitments with our policyholders. And in the French context, you may have noted that this week, S&P gave us a positive outlook. We are double A minus with a positive outlook in the French context. And Moody's did the same a few months ago. And this is basically a recognition of what Thomas explained, i.e. the greater diversification of risks and the fact that we are not overexposed to any kind of these risks. Frederick, on cyber. On cyber insurance, well, cyber insurance will become a large market, yet it's a market which hasn't reached its appropriate balance, quote unquote. Saying this, when you look at the developments 5 or 6 years ago, every operator was losing money on cyber insurance due to ransomware, among others, those ransomware, rançongiciel in French. So you understood what I meant. And in the wake of these attacks, companies introduced more preventative actions, increased their prices, and the market became profitable again. And in the last 18 months, prices again went down because the market became less profitable. In fact, the market has not yet found its appropriate equilibrium between supply and demand. There's high demand, not enough supply. If you look at our cyber insurance business, well, one of the largest cyber insurance operators in the world, ranking fifth or among the five operators, and Excel in the U.S. Being accounting for a large part of that. This market is more advanced in the U.S., less so in Europe, and this is connected with preventative action. If there's no strong prevention activity, the cyber insurance risk cannot be insured. So the cyber insurance peril in the European SMEs and mid-market is difficult to ensure because SMEs have not invested enough in preventative action. So basically, these are perils where you get one claim per year. You know that you will get such a claim every year. So this is why I'm saying that this market is not mature enough. Also, this is a peril which is possibly a systemic peril. And insurance companies don't like systemic risk so much because systemic risk basically impact everyone. And systemic risks, by definition, are difficult to insure. We haven't had any cyber-related systemic peril in the world, but given the fact that networks are interconnected, we always wonder whether these risks won't become systemic risks. And insurance companies have been advocating for the advent of public-private partnership to be set up in France and in Europe, generally speaking, and even in the US, which would reassure the reinsurance companies and would enable them to reassure the cyber insurance risk without considering that these risks will turn into a systemic risk at some point. At some point in time. So the key will be with having preventative action, stronger ones, and public-private partnership. Last question in the first row, and then we will conclude this meeting. Yes, hello, Mathieu Rosma of Reuters. I have a question on the cover for NatCats. Generally speaking, are you remaining engaged to cover such disasters? Knowing that as far as AXA XL Re, you've reduced your exposure levels by 60% on NatCats, right? Thank you, Mathieu, for your question. Well, yes, of course, we are going to keep engaging with the sector of NatCats because this is a key peril to be covered for our clients and customers. But as I said earlier, we will be doing this in a highly diversified manner, i.e. we'll be very selective in our exposures. And this is what I've said earlier. We need to try and offer and promote the angle of preventative action much more than we've been doing it. Because if we want this risk to keep being insured, and if we want to reduce claims over time, we want to make sure that preventative action gains more traction. What does it mean, preventative action? When a claim happened, when a NatCat event struck, how can you reconstruct, how can you rebuild buildings, homes in a more sustainable way? And as Frederick said, it's a question of using technology like satellite imagers and photography to better understand what's happening on the ground and to get better prepared against hurricanes and storms. So, yes, indeed, it remains a key part of our business with more preventative action.
Je vous remercie. Very well. I thank you very much for your questions, your answer, and I wish you a beautiful day with a lot of sun. Thank you very much.